You ready?
Ready?
Watch out, Frankfurt!
Anyway,
with a friend. Warning, the following podcast features views and opinions that are not representative of the collective views of the Whispers groups. Some of these views may not be suitable for children. Accordingly, the producers and hosts of the Missy AE podcast must insist that no one attempt to take anything that is being said as representative of the views of any of the Whispers groups.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Missy AE podcast. Tonight, we bring to you Sports Whispers Weekly, where we talk nothing but sports for the duration of the show. A quick apology for last week, Blog Talk Radio and Daylight Savings Time. Yeah, apparently not a good mix, as I was unable to get on the air. So we had to abruptly cancel last week's show. I don't know if you got my message, Lou, last week.
Happens every year.
But, I should know this by now. I should know this by now that it happens every single year, every single time Daylight Savings Time comes,
right,
that there's always some sort of issue with Blog Talk. But that just means more stuff to talk about this week, because I still have the entire slate that I was going to talk about last week, and not to mention we got March Madness to talk about. We got NFL free agent frenzy.
I made the bow for a little while because I got a little brother, Tanner Hart maybe, but I'll try to keep that short and come back before the 11 o'clock sign off.
Okay. Well, Lou, we have a lot of stuff to cover, though. Let's get right into March Madness, Lou.
Yes.
Is it me, or is this becoming the tournament of upsets?
Oh, it's becoming the tournament of upsets, right? It's not just you. I mean, let's put it this way. Out of about 200 million that were, like, in doing pools, about 198 million are busted.
Yeah. It's and a lot of it is because of one team, to be perfectly honest. But, more of the upsets have now all of a sudden been piling in, and you, Lou, were officially eliminated just a bit ago with Kansas losing to Arkansas. I mean, it is just wild. The number of upsets that we're seeing here. Number four ranked Virginia losing to Furman by 1 point. Princeton knocking off not just Arizona, but also Missouri.
I took Princeton to beat Arizona.
And they are, by the way, they are the first Ivy League team since 2010 when Cornell did it to make it to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Then we had Fairleigh Dickinson over Purdue.
Remember, Fairleigh Dickinson is 20 minutes from my house.
Right. And, FAU over Memphis,
I wasn't sold on
really,
Memphis that much.
I don't know. It's kind of odd. I don't know if we could call it an upset because, I guess we kind of could because Memphis – points per game wise was a hell of a lot further out than FAU. So I think a lot of people probably thought Memphis would take it.
Yeah.
But we saw them go down. We saw them go down. We saw Iowa State go down to Pittsburgh 59-41. Texas A&M gets upended by Penn State, although to be fair, I don't know if we can call that an upset because Penn State has been on fire in recent weeks. So, but I will, I'm going to call it an upset because I believe Texas A&M, they've had the refs on their side for pretty much all season.
Yes.
And the fact that Penn State was able to beat them by 17 points, I mean, they just piled it on. Now, right now, of course, they're trailing Texas by 8 at the half, 31-23. But, there's still a full half to go. Who knows what may happen. Could we see, Lou, potentially any more upsets? Because, right now we got UCLA and Northwestern. We got Texas and Penn State. We have Houston and Auburn, but Houston looks to be pulling away with halftime nearing. Yeah. I mean, we still also, of course, have Alabama and Maryland to go, Creighton and Baylor, Fairleigh Dickinson and FAU, Kentucky and Kansas State, Michigan State and Marquette, Miami and Indiana, Pittsburgh, Xavier, St. Mary's and UConn, TCU and Gonzaga, all
yeah.
still to be played tomorrow. So I got to tell you, though, Lou, right now, from what I can see here, I think Arkansas may continue their streak of Elite Eight appearances.
Yeah, I think so, too.
They have to face the winner of UConn and St. Mary's. And to be perfectly honest, I have Arkansas over either one of them.
Oh, my.
I mean, honestly, I think, you know, UConn, they lost the Big East tournament. And it's almost like a New England curse that in recent years, anybody from New England has never really done well in the NCAA tournament. Now, obviously, that might change this year, but, you know, UConn, I wouldn't be surprised if they beat St. Mary's. I wouldn't be surprised if they fall to Arkansas. Arkansas is probably headed to either a meeting with Gonzaga or UCLA, assuming that that's going to be the Sweet 16 matchup for that bracket.
Yes.
But, Lou, let's get your thoughts. Who do you think has been the most surprising upset thus far in the tournament?
Oh, FDU. Especially if they're being Purdue and they win again. A 16, you know, for instance, won that 2 in a row, and, of course, a 16 seed, only the second time a 16 seed ever been in the 1 seed. And all from a little school in New Jersey that 98% of the country has never even heard of. Go figure.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it is kind of amazing that we're seeing so many upsets so far in this tournament. And you brought this up to me earlier today. That as far as what may be the cause of the upsets.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, I'll repeat what I said on your show. I think it might have something to do with the fact that, you know, the higher the seed is, usually they think that it's, you know, a guaranteed win. That, like,
right.
For example,
Purdue will win and the other team will be put to shreds early. Right? Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not always the case.
Right, exactly. Like, for example, Purdue probably thought that, FDU, you know, nobody even knows of them. They'll be an easy out. They'll be handled by halftime. And lo and behold,
okay.
FDU basically showed that they're here to stay till at least the round of 32. Who knows if they'll advance over FAU. But, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that higher-seeded teams are always looking forward. They're looking ahead instead of looking at the team that they're facing right in front of them.
But those of you who think that there's no such thing as being overconfident, yes, there is.
Yeah, clearly. There definitely is such a thing as being overconfident. And let me bring in Alex. Alex, we're talking about March Madness here. Can you believe the amount of upsets that we have seen thus far in the tournament?
Oh, it's been awesome. Yeah, I just saw Princeton earlier. Furman, and then obviously FDU was phenomenal. It's been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's just astounding. And, you know, I was bringing up to Lou the fact that maybe perhaps the higher ranked seeds probably feel, this is going to be a breeze. The game will be over by half. And they're already looking forwards towards the next round rather than focusing on who they're facing. And you know, that's why we've seen so many upsets so far. Arizona went down to Princeton. Purdue went down to FDU. Virginia went down to Furman.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh beat Iowa State. I mean, well, you know, it just Kansas lost to Arkansas. You know, it just it almost seems like a lot of these higher ranked seeds are basically forgetting what's in front of them and instead looking forward to the next to their next matchups.
Yeah, you're right. Some of the bigger, the big dogs don't really take the unknowns quite seriously. And then you look up and it's like 10 to 3, or then it's 35 to 20, and then you're in a hole. And then it's like, you know, they turn up the defensive intensity. I don't think Missouri led one time against Princeton, and no one picked Princeton. I mean, that's twice in a row for Princeton now. And now they're in the Sweet 16. They haven't had a win, I don't think, since the 60s in the NCAA tournament, and now they have two.
Lou picked Princeton.
Oh, really? Oh, mm-hmm. Man, I missed that one. Wow, Lou the Confucius. Jeez, what a pick.
Remember, I'm from Jersey.
Oh, yeah. No, you have some insight. You are a guru of the Jersey area. Okay,
I'm a guru, yes. I'm a guru.
You know, they are actually the first Ivy League team to make it to the Sweet 16 since Cornell did it back in 2010. So,
wow.
You know, there's definitely there's a lot of surprises being done so far in this tournament, and who knows, we may not be done because I mean we still have a few games ongoing right now, and I think most of them are at the half.
Yes. There's one on,
you know,
right now.
There's,
I'm just kind of like, I'm kind of multitasking. I got two little dogs and I'm still helping mom, which is fun, but I got my handful. Normally I'm a lot more free on a Saturday night, but there's one game on. Who the heck's playing right now? Someone's in action right now. And then UCLA's playing. I'm fingers crossed there's going to be some later games when in the next hour when I can finally settle down solo. Hopefully
yeah.
There's still some action going on.
Yeah, Alabama and Maryland is at 9:40. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. You know how it is. I never like to – when those games end, I'm like, oh, there's got to be another one coming up. Come on.
That's yeah, Alabama and Maryland is at 9:40. Games that are currently underway, Houston is Houston's starting to pull away now. 70-57 over Auburn.
Yeah, that's pretty
about,
wow.
With about
and 337
Steve, left in the second half.
I mentioned it to Lou back in the day when he joined our old school podcast about it. I'm still getting into it. This is – I mean, the last week, I'm, like, fully invested now. I'm, like, just mesmerized. Now I'm watching, like, every single minute of every single game I can. I'm March Madness, I finally jumped, you know, fully into it this year. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of tricky for me because, I mean, I do have one of the games up on stream right now, but I got the Celtics game on my TV. I got – You know, earlier I was watching the Bruins. It's very tricky. And actually, I was watching part of the WBC as well. It looks like, oh no, Venezuela took the lead. Shit!
Yuck!
Wow.
USA was leading 5-2.
What inning is it?
Oh God!
It is the sixth, the top of the sixth.
Now, I've not been dialed in the last couple of days in that.
No freezing
because I'm visiting family, Steve, so I'm a little out of pocket. Is this Final Four, or is it like do or die, or are there other games for the baseball?
Well, it's either win or go home, basically.
Win or you're dumb like Edwin Diaz. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or in Edwin Diaz's case, win and you're done. It's either win or go home here. The winner of this game faces off against Cuba in the semifinals, and looks like let me bring up the bracket.
Wait
here
a second.
Real
Cuba
quick.
Cuba, I haven't looked at Cuba's. I haven't looked at a couple of the rosters. I know it's a long shot, but is Cespedes playing again?
That
for Cuba
is Cespedes.
He's been trying to get back into the league. He's playing. It would be obviously it would be a great way for him to show that he's back. I'm sure he's suiting up if he's healthy.
I don't know. I don't think I saw his name on the
list. He's still like early 30s, age-wise. Where he just kind of fought a couple boards and disappeared from the Mets clubhouse.
Let me look real quick.
They've been looking for him ever since. He hasn't resurfaced.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He was on the Cuban team, but he did leave, but he ended up leaving for personal reasons.
Uh-huh. Well, that's, I don't mean to laugh, but I mean, come on. That's Jesus. Really? Yeah.
He's never coming back
to the major leagues.
So basically he left before they started the quarterfinals.
Wow. And obviously Cuba, I'm going to sit down in a second. Again, I'll be much more dialed in the rest of the show coming up. I'm just getting settled in for the night. I'm sure I'm sure Cuba's got 10 or 12 really, really legit players. Now, who's Cuba playing coming up?
Well, Cuba beat Australia in the quarterfinal matchup 4-3. So they will face the winner of USA and Venezuela.
Yes.
Nice.
And right now, Venezuela leads 6-5 in the top of the sixth. So it all depends on if USA can come back or if Venezuela is going to hold on. Unfortunately, Daniel Bard has no sense of control whatsoever. So that's part of the reason why the USA is down now all of a sudden. Thank you, Daniel Bard, for giving up 4 runs and inflating your WBC ERA to 43.20.
What?
Oh, you heard me right. His ERA.
Yeah, I heard. I believe it.
His ERA is 43.20 right now.
What's that? What kind of ERA is that?
It's somebody. It's an ERA of somebody who has gotten no outs in his entire WBC stay so far.
Oh wow, disgusting.
Elsewhere, in the quarterfinals, Japan, they advanced over Italy 9-3, and I got to tell you, right now, Japan, they really seem to be raking. I think they could be. Even though they're going to be facing Mexico because of Mexico's 5-4 win over Puerto Rico, even though they're facing Mexico, I think Japan, I would have to assume, would probably be the odds-on favorite for that matchup.
Wow. That's awesome.
It is.
But
first time in what, 6 years, right? I mean, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, you really can't, unless you're going to do like a, almost like, you know, soccer, I guess. I know we were talking about it a few shows ago. It's tough, like, where to fit this in, but because now they're going to get March Madness. I'm like, what do I watch?
Exactly. Yeah, it's,
you need like 5 TVs.
There's a whole bunch of stuff all around when it comes to different sporting events all at the same time. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm looking at Japan. Japan's pretty stacked, honestly. With some of the names that they have on their roster, they're pretty stacked. So
nice. Do they have the new Red Sox outfielder?
Yes, they do. And he has been showing off, I'll put it that way.
Wow. I tried to give him my fantasy draft earlier today. Didn't get him. Didn't get Senga either.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know exactly how well he's going to translate, but I think it's a good, I think it's a good sign with how he's been playing in the WBC so far. Especially against major league starting pitching. I think it's a good sign for him. But obviously, you know, with more at-bats that he gets against major league pitching, we're going to see just exactly, you know, if he can continue, the production that he's putting up.
Absolutely. It's going to be exciting. And you're right. It's not like an Otani draft pick either. I can't cry over it. It's his first year in the big leagues. Who knows how he's going to do? I think I took like Chris Bryant instead. So I'll be okay. But, I guess they're not going to hit him or Devers. He and Devers, they want to break up in the lineup. Dude, you know, I got from the Sox, so I'm not going to make it a fantasy night, but one more thing about my team. I get the last pick in the whole draft. Adam Duvall.
Uh-huh.
Adam Duvall, he's a he's a masher with the Green Monster. He hit 35 home runs.
Yeah, that's sneaky. Yeah. That's a sneaky pick. That's a sneaky pick for the final pick.
He's just a pure, absolute, all-or-nothing righty bat. Boom.
If he can
stay healthy. Look at that, Green Monster. He's perfect.
If he can stay healthy, that might be a pretty sneaky pick for you.
And he's got all the outfield, left, center, right field eligibility. I was like, okay, I'm taking a flyer in this guy. The later picks, like any sport, you can just cut bait after a month. It's no risk. We'll see.
Right.
I think their team overall, I think their lineup, just real quick on the Red Sox overall, since we brought up a few guys, if those guys stay healthy and perform, if their pitching holds up, they could be in the mix.
They could, but the problem is, it's just, I take a look at everything that everybody else did this offseason, and you also take into account how last season ended. The Sox had to make massive improvements if they wanted to hope to, you know, to be able to compete within their division to begin with. And to be perfectly honest, I don't think they've made enough. I don't think they've made enough improvements to, you know, to get by. Let me put it this way. They may get by Tampa Bay and they may get by Baltimore, but I don't think they're going to get by the Yankees or Toronto.
No. Yeah. But I mean, if you know, we've seen it before. They absolutely get hot and stay healthy. They could sneak in as like one of those wild cards. You never know.
Right.
They have to get out to a really hot start. The new Japanese guy has to hit 300. Duvall has to maybe hit 30 home runs. Just random stuff. If it all breaks their way, they got a shot.
I mean, Duvall. It could happen with Duvall if he can stay healthy. And, he and his bat continues to stay as hot as it's been back when he was with Atlanta, right?
Yeah, he's one of those guys who always bounces around in new teams and always hits like 29 home runs or 33.
Yeah, if he can stay healthy and, I mean, maybe not necessarily put up power numbers, but at least be a consistent, at-bat threat.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be happy with it. You know, he doesn't necessarily need to put up like 30 home runs. I mean, I would love it if he puts up 30 home runs, but maybe if he can at least replace the production of Xander Bogaerts, I would be perfectly fine with that.
If you guys want a score update, I got one for you, but you might not like it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Rangers 5,
what do you
Pittsburgh
got?
Zip.
What is it?
Rangers 5, Pittsburgh Zip.
Now you got hockey going on.
Wow.
World Baseball.
Yeah.
Wow. Busy night.
You know, going to Edwin Diaz for a minute here, this brought up a whole entire discussion earlier this week as to whether or not the WBC is good for baseball. And for those who aren't aware, Edwin Diaz, he suffered a season-ending injury to his knee, I think it was, in the aftermath of Puerto Rico's win. And they were celebrating, and as everybody rushed him, I guess something happened to where he injured his knee, and it's basically, they're calling it season ending, even though he's aiming to somehow return from his knee injury this year, but it sounds like that's not going to happen. And then not just that, but also Brandon Nimmo, he suffered an injury, which he's considered to be week to week, apparently, according to an update earlier today. He's considered to be week to week. The question, is now going to turn to, is the WBC good for baseball? And in particular, you know, in particular, could we potentially see the, you know, major league teams not allow their players to play in the WBC?
Yeah, I mean, right now it's not good for the Mets, but, I mean, overall, for these teams all over the world, half these guys, most of those guys will never have be in this moment in the spotlight. So, I mean, yeah, it's tough for the big guys, you know, the Mets, people who run the Yankees or Red Sox, but I think it's better overall for the rest of the world. But, yeah, there's a huge risk for the pro players getting injured. So it's kind of a conflict of interest right there. It's a tough call.
Well, I said that so last week that, you know, this can't be good. You know, you guys are players, you're spring training, you're traveling, they're halfway around the world, and they're not going to come back and everything. This is not like a logical or good idea.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. Obviously, first off, the Edwin Diaz injury was a freak injury. We'll just put it simply right there.
Of course.
You know, it's a freak injury. It's not like it happened in the game. So, you know, it was a mistake. It was a mistake. The fact that, you know, he ended up getting charged like he did by his teammates.
Right.
You know, nobody was expecting him to all of a sudden injure his knee and be out the entire season.
Awful. So. And he is a really nice, not for nothing, he's apparently a really nice guy. He's got some massive contract. Remember when he came over to the Mets, he was like mentally shot. They thought he was not going to like stay in baseball. And then he had an incredible rebound last year, got the biggest contract ever for a closer, and this happens.
Right. And then on top of that, now too, Jose Altuve ended up leaving tonight's game against the USA after being hit in the hand and wrist area by a pitch.
You know, that could be 2 months.
Because Daniel Bard can't control his fastball for shit.
He took being a Colorado Rocky all the way to the World Baseball Classic. Rockies can't pitch that well.
Let's see. Was that a fastball? Yeah, it was 96 miles per hour. So, I mean that, you know, that's another injury to happen here for major league talent. You know, it's only going to further add to that fuel of the WBC is bad for baseball.
I mean, they might scale it back eventually. The pro players in America, the ownership, the powers that be with the money, they might eventually pull the plug, and you might just be seeing high school, college players, minor leaguers, stuff like that. For America,
sure,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's happened in hockey and basketball, too, like on and off. So this might, when Altuve and Diaz, this is not a good look right now, unfortunately, because overall it's a great thing for everyone, but these injuries are really not a good look.
No.
No.
By the way, score update, Houston has advanced to the Sweet 16, 81-64 over Auburn. So they will meet the winner of Miami and Indiana, which is set to take place tomorrow. I don't know if it's a night game or a day game, but Miami
is playing tomorrow. I think Indiana's like 12 or 1. There's a really good game on right away, like midday tomorrow. I think Indiana.
Hmm. It could be. Let me look.
Great. Alabama's coming on right now. This is awesome.
No, Indiana is at 8:40, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're
so
almost
it's a night.
Wow.
Yeah,
is Maryland
it's
pretty
a night
good?
Game.
Real quick on the hoops, is Maryland viable? Can they dance with Alabama, or is Alabama going to roll over them?
You know, I can't really – I would probably, in all honesty, go with Alabama in this one because, I don't know. You know, Maryland, I haven't really seen too much of them, but let's put it this way. ESPN, their matchup predictor, they have Alabama with an 80% chance to win.
That's not it. Yeah, then I mean Maryland's not dead in the water. We've seen other ones with, I'm sure, far less projectable winning. So, Yeah, I mean
Alabama.
Maryland's
Alabama,
always been legit.
Alabama scores 82.6 points per game. Maryland only 70.3.
Wow. But hey, we like we were talking about before, though. You see these Princeton teams, anything's possible. I know Maryland's a bigger school than, you know, Fairleigh Dickinson. So you know Maryland's at least going to have some size and some athletes.
Yeah.
If they get
right.
hot, you know?
Right.
And I'll be pulling – I don't know about you guys. I'll be pulling for the Terps. I love these the underdogs.
Okay.
Oh, you know, I would hope – I would love to see Alabama get taken out of – because the last thing we need is – not only for Alabama to rule college football, but now for Alabama to all of a sudden become a college basketball powerhouse.
Not going to happen.
I mean,
well,
that's literally the last thing that we need.
Yeah, I agree. They're proud enough. They got enough success over on the gridiron.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of the gridiron, we're going to get to the gridiron in just a little bit because we do have free agent frenzy to talk about.
Oh, nice.
I say that.
But, yeah, there's a significant amount. But I want to go to the UFC for a little bit because I wanted to bring this up last week.
Yep.
However, because of a certain problem, hint, daylight savings time, we weren't able to get the show on. John Jones fulfills what everybody expected him to be throughout his entire career. Everybody had been saying, oh, John Jones has to move up to heavyweight because he's completely cleared out the light heavyweight division. Well, John Jones moves up to heavyweight, and I'll say this right now. He weighed 248. He literally looked like he was in the light heavyweight division still. Even with his different frame. Oh yeah, he is back. He handled Cyril Gane like it was nothing.
And he's got a lot to come back. You know, he's angry. He's fired up, man. It's a good start.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if you saw it. If you saw it, Lou or Alex, but. It didn't take him long at all to get Gane down to the mat. And literally the only shot that Gane landed the entire fight was an accidental kick to the nuts within the opening 5 seconds of the round.
Jules. Wow.
Wow.
That's literally the only shot that Gane landed the entire fight. After that, Jones basically got him to the ground, eventually worked him into a guillotine choke, and the fight was over right there.
No guillotine.
And now it looks like the matchup has been set. John Jones will face who many consider to be the GOAT of the UFC heavyweight division, Stipe Miocic, which is set for July, I think, during UFC International Fight Week. It hasn't been made official yet, but that is looking to be John Jones's first title defense. Which will be for that. So, needless to say, you know, it appears that even at the age of 35, it looks like John Jones is officially back.
Wow, at his age.
At 35 years old. I mean, can you imagine as long as he stays healthy and stays out of trouble?
Well, sure.
He could potentially set heavyweight records now, just like he set light heavyweight records.
You know, by 35, that's old for a fighter.
Yeah, but it may be old for a fighter, but still, when you're somebody like John Jones who is competing at the level he's competing at, I mean, you know, there's I don't want to compare him to Muhammad Ali, but
Don't go there.
No. But he's, you know, he was considered to be the greatest of all time in the light heavyweight division, and now he's moved up to the heavyweight division, and he was barely even fazed by the extra weight that he put on.
Right.
Barely fazed at all. And I have a feeling his matchup against Stipe Miocic, I have a feeling it's going to go the exact same way. Maybe not by submission, but I think it's going to go the exact same way. And Miocic, I think, will fall to John Jones ultimately, because Jones knows how to successfully defend against elite strikers. I mean, we've seen him fight many elite strikers throughout his career: Lyoto Machida, Alexander Gustafsson. Daniel Cormier, yeah, kind of an elite striker, but he was more known for his grappling. Glover Teixeira, Vitor Belfort, hell, he submitted Vitor Belfort. Rashad Evans, Quentin Rampage Jackson, you know, the list goes on and on when it comes to the strikers that he's beaten. So against a guy like Miocic, and Miocic hasn't fought in a while either, so there is the potential for octagon rust, but we will see how that goes here moving forward for the UFC. Let me check real quick and look and see if we have any other updates here. Well, Penn State has cut Texas's lead down to 7.
Yeah.
And
7.
UCLA with a 10-point lead at the half, 35-25.
Wow.
We have added Diane.
Yes.
How's it going, Diane?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. We got Alex and we have Lou on the line here as well. We've basically been going through a myriad of topics essentially. Do you have any specific team, Diane, that you're rooting for in March Madness?
No.
No specific one.
And what's Octagon Rust?
Oh, that's UFC talking.
Oh, yeah. It's basically Octagon Rust is when somebody hasn't fought inside the UFC Octagon for a long time. You know, if they're, say, it's almost like you would consider it ring rust, essentially. So, like,
mm-hmm.
Say somebody hasn't fought for, like, more than a year. You would think that, okay, maybe they have to shake off a little bit of the rust that they have. You know, they're not going to be – maybe they won't be the same competitor that they were when they last fought.
Uh-huh.
That's basically what Octagon Rust is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's UFC. You know, boxers fight a boxing ring, UFC fights in this ring called the Octagon. UFC
kind
of.
By the way, it looks like Maryland and Alabama has been pushed back to 10:02, a 10:02 start time, I think. That's what, at least that's what it says here on ESPN, on the
approximately
on the what's it called, the official preview page here. And Alabama actually is the favorite by 8.5 points. But I gotta tell you though, if you're somebody who bets the over and under, the under has won quite a few times in March Madness so far.
Yeah.
You mean the underdog?
Yeah.
Well, in this matchup, Maryland is the underdog. Considering that Alabama is one of the highest ranked shooting teams in the tournament here, Penn
mm-hmm.
State looks to be making a bit of a run. They did have the lead down to 4, but now it's back up to 6. So
mm-hmm.
It does look like, oh, nope, they got it back to four. So Texas and Penn State right now are trading baskets here with about 840 or so to go in the second half. You know, I did, if you remember, Lou, I did say that Texas, normally they falter early on in March Madness. Usually they falter, but honestly, from what it looks like right now, they're at least keeping pace with Date right now. So anything's possible in this matchup. But I mean, right now, it's back to a 7-point lead.
Mm-hmm.
A WBC update. Venezuela still leads 6-5, but the USA does have runners at the corners with two outs in the top of the seventh. So
not good.
It is possible USA could. Yeah. We're just moving over to baseball for one second here, but it does look like USA could potentially tie this up here.
Yes.
And Kyle Tucker is actually at bat. He's a triple away from the cycle.
Thank you.
Huh? Who's Kyle Tucker?
He is a outfielder for the Houston Astros and currently playing for Team USA.
Right. Okay.
Nice player.
You do know what the cycle is, right, Guy?
The batting cycle?
Yes.
Exactly.
If a player hits a single, a double, a triple, and a home run in the same game, that's a cycle. Not in any particular order.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't mean any particular order. Just do it all four. And it's not easy.
I've never actually done that.
I don't think anybody's done it in the WBC, but
there
have been players that have done it in the regular season.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, if you have a no hitter in the World Series, hey, anything can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we did see a World Series no hitter, so.
Yes, we did.
Anything
first time
could,
in a dog's age.
So anything could potentially happen. A little bit of an injury update. Boston Red Sox third baseman Justin Turner, or not third baseman, first baseman Justin Turner, was released from the hospital this past Monday after taking a fastball to the face from Tigers right-hander Matt Manning earlier this past week. All tests and scans did come back clean, and he isn't dealing with any fractures or concussion-related issues. However, he did receive 16 stitches to the face, and there is currently no timeline as far as to how much time he may miss. But it looked disgusting. I'll put it that way. Because there was blood immediately coming from his face, literally as he hit the ground. So, luckily though, he is back on the road to recovery. It's a miracle that he didn't suffer any fractures. I'll put it that way.
Yeah,
that could have been a lot worse.
And Venezuela holds off the United States in the top of the seventh. We are now headed to the bottom with called strike three on Justin Tucker. So still 6-5 for Venezuela. USA is down to their final six outs.
Yeah.
Dodgers pitcher Tony Gonsolin suffered a left ankle sprain while doing defensive drills on the field. And however, the Dodgers do not sound overly concerned, and they are considering him to be day-to-day. But he ended up not making his last scheduled Cactus League start in spring training. So as of now, they don't consider it to be impacting his availability for the regular season. Let me bring on, we have one man who is here to celebrate his Hogs. Oh, wait a minute. No, actually, no, never mind. Hang on. Wrong number. Never mind. They disconnected.
I thought it was Boss Man.
No, not yet. I thought it was. It was the right area code but different number.
Okay.
Boss Man. You mean Kevin?
Jim.
No, not that one. Different
Jim.
Different one. Yeah, Jim.
This is the boss of this network, Diane.
I thought it was him, but it wasn't.
Okay.
It was a different right area code but different number.
Okay.
Let us move over to the NHL for a little bit because there are a few things that I want to tackle here. First off, Montreal and Florida, they became just the third time in NHL history that both teams combined for 10 first period goals.
Wow.
I'll say this once again.
Yeah.
10 first period goals. Which gave Florida a 7-3 lead for the Florida Panthers. The other instances came in January 16th of 1987 when Vancouver put up 6 goals in the first period to Calgary's 4. And October 26th of 1982 when Montreal and Buffalo both put up 5 goals apiece.
Yep.
Now,
wow.
Florida ended up going on to win the game 9-5, but it's the first time since 1987 that two teams have combined for 10 first period goals, which, to be perfectly honest, in NHL, in hockey in general, that's pretty damn hard to accomplish.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's been very rare to see that happen. I mean, it was almost, you could almost consider it to be like a baseball score.
Yeah. I was thinking something else, but.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, the Hurricanes, they will be missing a crucial forward for the remainder of the season and also the playoffs. Andrei Svechnikov went down with a season-ending knee injury this past week that he suffered. Actually, he suffered it on Thursday, and he will be officially out for the season with season-ending knee surgery through 64 games this year. Through 64 games this year, he put up 23 goals and 32 assists for 55 points, and he was a +6 player out on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
So this is for a team that didn't even address their forward depth at the trade deadline. This is a massive loss for the Carolina Hurricanes as they move into the playoff picture here.
Don't they have another charge?
I mean, if anything, this is good news for the rest of the Eastern Conference, for anybody who wants to move forward and sees Carolina as a potential obstacle. This is one of the big stumbling blocks that has basically basically been put in front of everybody. I mean, when you take a look at who you have in the Eastern Conference right now for the playoff picture, I mean, obviously you got Boston, you got Toronto, you got Tampa, you have New Jersey. This is actually this could be very crucial for New Jersey because New Jersey Yes. Because New Jersey will most likely have to face Carolina potentially in the second round.
Okay.
They faced last year.
So, I mean, this is pretty crucial for your Devils, Diane. The fact that the Devils, they were able to add by getting Timo Meier at the trade deadline, and not to mention they also ended up nabbing Curtis Lazar as well. You know, they added Carolina. I mean, yeah, they ended up getting Jesse Puljuharvi, and they also ended up getting Shane Gostisbehere from the, I think it was the Arizona Coyotes that they ended up grabbing him from. They didn't address their forward depth that much. I mean, yeah, they got Puljuharvi, but they're going to need more than that in order to make up for the loss of Svechnikov. So,
their AHL team?
Well, I mean, they could. They could call somebody up from the AHL, but if I'm being honest here, you know, there's no player that could replace what Svechnikov would have brought to them in the playoffs.
What could Svechnikov have brought to them?
Well, I mean, let me just bring up his playoffs from last year. Through his time in the NHL, he's played in 40 career playoff games, 13 goals, 12 assists for 25 points with the Hurricanes through four different seasons in the playoffs. Last year he had 4 goals and 1 assist in the playoffs through 14 games last year. So he is a playoff performer. He's probably one of their best forwards that they have come playoff time. So to suffer a loss like that, it's going to be pretty difficult for them to replace that type of production.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just checking something real quick here.
Yes.
Going next to this next bit of a headline here, the Washington Capitals, they have re-signed defenseman Trevor Van Riemsdyk to a 3-year, $9 million deal, average annual value around $3 million. Honestly,
yeah.
probably a worthwhile signing for them.
Yes.
He's pretty much been a dependable defenseman for the most part throughout most of his NHL career. He's probably one of their top scoring defensemen actually this year, 7 goals, 16 assists for 23 points in 70 games. And also he's a plus 12. So, you know, I know there may be some fans who, or some listeners who don't listen to, or who listen to this, who may not know much about, you know, about hockey, and they may think 7 goals isn't really a lot. It's actually a lot for a defenseman. It is a lot for a defenseman. Forward is a different story because forwards, they're more about the attacking rather than defending. But for a defenseman to, honestly, 5 goals is actually a lot for a defenseman because normally most defensemen you see, if anything, 2 or 3 goals. But you know, it's definitely a big, he's definitely a big part of their defensive core, especially as they're looking to move forward here after getting rid of Dmitry Orlov and sending him to the Boston Bruins at the trade deadline. That's obviously going to open up more minutes, and Trevor Van Riemsdyk looks like he's going to be a crucial part moving forward for the Washington Capitals defensive core.
Didn't the Devils get someone from the Capitals too?
Who?
Didn't the Devils get Vanacek from the Capitals?
Yeah, they did. Or No, Vanacek, yeah, originally he was with the Capitals, but he's now with the New Jersey Devils. So,
right, that's what I asked.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys did end up getting Vanacek in free agency,
yeah,
actually. So
oh,
it wasn't,
right, free
it wasn't
agency,
by a trade.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't by a trade. It was by free agency.
Okay.
But some of the other notable trades to talk about here, because we didn't really, obviously, we were off last week due to unforeseen circumstances. And
yeah,
the previous week, we didn't really get to cover all of the trades. But just some of the notable trades here to bring up once again. The Arizona Coyotes, they ended up getting forward Jacob Voracek along with a sixth-round pick in this year's draft from the Columbus Blue Jackets in exchange for goaltender John Gillies. And honestly, in my opinion, this is just basically Arizona's way of maybe acquiring a little bit of draft capital, because Voracek, he's probably done. He's probably not even going to play again. So this is just Arizona's a rebuilding team. They're looking to basically get any sort of draft capital, no matter what round, from the first round to the seventh round. They're basically just looking to grab as much draft capital as they can. So this is pretty much – they're basically looking to try and just recoup some of the stuff that they may have lost in previous trades. They did also ship out defenseman Jacob Chychrun, one of their star defensemen, their young star defenseman, to the Ottawa Senators in exchange for a first-round pick this year, a second-round pick in next year's draft, and also a second-round pick in the 2026 NHL draft. And considering the first-round pick this year, Ottawa, last I checked, they're nowhere near – yeah, let's see. They're nowhere near the playoff picture. So you're looking at a potential – a borderline top 10, maybe top 11 draft pick for the Arizona Coyotes in this trade here. So it's actually a pretty good haul that they got for Chychrun, considering their original price was two first round picks,
wow,
and a roster player and a second round pick as well. Or no, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. Two first round picks, two second-round picks, and a roster player was the original asking price for Jacob Chychrun. So when you consider the fact that Ottawa basically gave up a top 10, top 11 draft pick, depending on how the draft lottery turns out for them, and two second-round picks, honestly, I would almost consider this a steal by Ottawa. And
yeah,
Chychrun has term on his deal remaining.
Who pays that? Arizona or Ottawa?
Ottawa has him now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pair him up with Thomas Chabot out there in Ottawa, I mean, you basically have your top two left-hand. Well, this is a problem here, is both of them are left-handed. So, you know, you're not going to really see the both of them play the top defensive line, but you do have your top two left-handed defensemen locked up for the future in both Chabot and Chychrun here. Some of the other notable trades, I did mention Shane Gostisbehere going to the Carolina Hurricanes in exchange for a third-round pick in 2026. Edmonton, they got in the defenseman race as well, acquiring Matthias Ekholm and a sixth-round pick from Nashville in exchange, yep, for defenseman Tyson Barrie, forward Reed Schaefer, and a first-round pick this year, as well as a fourth-round pick. That right there is one hell of a haul for the Nashville Predators. The fact that they were able to offload Matthias Ekholm's contract, bring in Tyson Barrie, who's making about $2 million less per year, I believe, on his deal, Then you also bring in Reed Schaefer, who is a promising young prospect, a first-round pick, and granted, the first-round pick's probably going to be in the later half of the first round, I would assume anywhere from probably 17 to 32. And a fourth-round pick, I mean, that's a considerable price for the Edmonton Oilers to have to pay just to try and upgrade on defense. Some of the other trades as well, the Rangers, they acquired Patrick Kane as well as defenseman Cooper Zech from the Chicago Blackhawks in a team deal that also included the Arizona Coyotes. As part of this deal, the Blackhawks, they received defenseman Andy Walensky along with a conditional second-round pick in this year's draft and a fourth-round pick in the 2025 draft from the Rangers. And they also got Ville Saharvi, Sarjarvi from the Arizona Coyotes. And the Coyotes, because I assume they're also dealing with a portion of Patrick Kane's remaining salary, they ended up getting a third round pick in the 2025 NHL draft as compensation for being involved in this three-team deal here. And the biggest head scratcher that I have about this deal is that somehow Patrick Kane didn't get the Blackhawks a first round pick.
Yeah.
Highway robbery.
I mean, it's a conditional second round pick, but I would think that bringing in the likes of Patrick Kane would have at least warranted a guaranteed first round pick, because the second round pick can become a first round pick depending on how far they advance in the playoffs. I think it's low. I'll just put it that way. Let's start with you, Alex. What do you think about this? About this price?
Yeah, I mean, you took the words out of my mouth right there. Perfectly said. I think just bottom line, too low of a price. Now, I will say, I think because I read a couple of quotes. I think from even from like the Chicago front office, like we definitely feel like we did right. You know, they didn't want to send him to Siberia because he's like a proud. We all know about that. I don't need to explain it, but they wanted to quote unquote do right by him and his family. So he wanted to go to a contender. He wanted to go to New York. So I guess, you know what I mean? The Rangers kind of had like the advantage there. They're like, oh no, you're making the trade. We're not giving up a first. Their hands were a little bit tied, but they should still have gotten a first. Cause I mean, what's the chance of that first rounder becoming in 2 or 3 years? Someone as good as Kane.
Right.
That's a pretty fair price, right? I mean, the least they should get is a first rounder.
Considering where the first rounder would fall, it would be in the low say low 20s, but when I say low 20s, I mean like 28, 29, something like that.
Yeah.
It's weird because the NHL is different because they don't do their first round picks based off of where you finish in the regular season. They do the first round picks based off of where you finish, period. Like if you win the Stanley Cup, then you're the last pick in the first round.
Right.
Gotcha. And I mean, what I even said before, think about that. That's even if they had given up the first rounder, that's no guarantee that's a fair deal. They didn't even get a first gun in my head. Yeah. Bad deal by the Blackhawks. They should have at least gotten a first.
What are your thoughts on this deal, Lou? Because I know you cover the New York area. What are your thoughts on the Rangers pretty much committing highway robbery?
Yeah, I mean, but now Brad McCabe was a little sluggish in the beginning. I mean, he wasn't really scoring anything, and we were losing. But now it seems to be making the right moves here. Yeah, but it was highway robbery, though. I mean, you're not always going to get, a good pick and whatnot. And like I was saying, the team with the Stanley Cup does get the last pick. So, there is some disadvantage to that. But, I like the way things are going now. Right? Patrick Kane is stepping up his game, and the Rangers are looking a lot sharper than it was, say, about 2 weeks ago, thankfully.
Yeah. Yeah, it did get off to a very rocky start for the Rangers after acquiring Tarasenko and also acquiring Patrick Kane. It's gotten them a little bit of getting used to the new system that they have out there in Madison Square Garden. But, the Rangers, they are coming around. I do think that they will be a threat potentially in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't think they will be an easy out, especially with their goaltending, Igor Shesterkin. He's one of the best in the league. And, there's just too much offensive firepower in that forward core, honestly. So, I wouldn't really rule them out at potentially making a playoff run, especially considering they're probably going to be facing – sorry, Diane, but they're probably going to be facing New Jersey in the first round. So, the big thing here, too, is – you take a look at New Jersey. New Jersey, they had to give up essentially, a king's ransom in order to get Timo Meier.
When did they give up?
Well, let's see. The full trade is as follows. New Jersey, they acquire forward Timo Meier, as well as forward Timur Ibragimov, as well as defenseman Scott Harrington, who is already on the Winnipeg Jets after being claimed on waivers, as well as defenseman Santeri Hataka, goalie Zachary Edmund, and a fifth-round pick in the NHL draft of 2024. Now, here's the thing. Timo Meier is basically the only major league talent in this trade here going to New Jersey. In return, New Jersey had to give up forward Fabian Zetterlund, forward Andreas Janssen, defenseman Shakir Mukhamadulin, and as well as Nikita Okhiotuk, as well as a conditional first-round pick in this year's draft, a conditional second-round pick in next year's draft, and a seventh-round pick in the 2024 draft. That's a pretty steep price to pay for Timo Meier.
Sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a lot when you consider that two of the mentioned players are probably some of their top prospects that they have in that organization.
Mm-hmm. That should have been the Blackhawks should have taken a note from that notebook and gotten a haul like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Prospects,
Is the Rangers are going to lose? The Devils are going to lose to the Rangers?
It's possible. We have a score update here.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Turner with a grand slam in the top of the eighth inning has put the United States up 9-7 over Venezuela.
Did the baseball world really need the mighty Phillies suddenly? And then they go out and add Trey Turner? I'm sorry, he might be the best player in the world.
Yeah.
Look at that. Trey, grand slam. And he's like 27 years old.
And they took Jose Alvarado out to face in order to they put in Silvino Bracho to face off against Trey Turner, and Trey Turner hit a grand slam.
Hey, guys, Steve, who's the Team USA closer? Do they have one, or do they just kind of, mix and match? Because, that's still ninth inning, right?
I'll tell you right now, it isn't Daniel Bard with his 43.20 ERA. But let me look real quick here. Let me see who they
It's probably now the de facto Mets temporary closer, Robertson.
Okay.
But he should be on Team USA. I don't know if he's
it could be Ryan Pressly.
Oh yeah, you're right. He's better. I'm just a Donald J.
It could be Ryan Pressly.
Come on, guys.
Let me just look here real quick. I'm trying to see what the remaining bullpen is. They got Pressly. They got Miles Mikolas. Well, Mikolas is a starter, isn't he?
He's a starter, and he's a really good pitcher, but he's more control. He throws like, 80s. He's definitely not a closer.
Mm. They must have been using him out of the bullpen then in the WBC here because he's only pitched 2 innings so far.
Who's that, right. Nicholas?
Mikolas, yeah.
Yeah, maybe I undersold him. He can throw a little faster, but he's not your.
Well, so far in tonight's matchup, Lance Lynn got the start. He went 4 innings, giving up 4 hits and two earned runs. Struck out 2, and he did give up a homer in the first inning. Then Daniel Bard came in, and the entire game went to hell, giving up 4 runs on 1 hit, 2 walks, and not recording a single out, might I add. And I believe one of the there may have also been an error too, I think. Then Adam came in, got an inning of work. Ottavino came in, got an inning of work. And Bednar came in, gave up 1 run in the bottom of the 7th. So now I don't know who they're going to go with in the bottom of the 8th, but it doesn't matter because, USA, not only are they up, but they're still up to bat right now. So we won't know about that until a while.
What network's that on? Is that on Fox or ESPN?
On Fox, yeah.
Gotcha. And I'm out of state. I'm in Sunshine State. I'm finding my different channels everywhere.
Right.
Let's see. Yeah, UCLA, 4-point lead. Bama just kicked off. There's about 9 good games going on at once.
Yeah, Bama is losing by 2 right now to Maryland. So,
still a conundrum. There's too much going on. Then, randomly there'll be not much going on a random night.
Yeah. I mean, there's still the possibility. We were talking about upsets earlier in college basketball in March Madness. There is the possibility, we could still be in line for a potential upset here. Northeastern, they're only 4 behind UCLA. I know Jim will definitely like it if UCLA drops to Northeastern and somehow Northeastern, is that Northeastern or is that – No, Northwestern. I'm sorry, not
Northwestern. They're within 2. They just scored. They're on like an 8-0 run. It's a 2-point game. I mean, UCLA lost like 3 games all year.
Am I in some other universe or something that for some reason I think Northwestern is Northeastern?
Yeah, well, you're from the Mac area. Come on, I can give you a pass on that.
I mean, I'm just... I guess my brain for some reason has stopped functioning for a moment here, but yeah, we do have a potential upset here in the making if UCLA can't close the door here. Texas did officially close the door on Penn State.
I'm going to settle on UCLA. Obviously, guys, do me a favor. Tell me when it's like bottom of the ninth for USA baseball. I'm going to watch UCLA. I just have one TV right now.
All right. I do have USA on. Actually, I'll switch it right now from.
No, you don't have to. But if you get the chance, if you see an update, let me know. I'm going to hop on my laptop too in a second.
Okay. So just some of the other, going back to the NHL real quick here. I do want to cover some of the other trades that ended up taking place at the deadline. We did get, of course, the Boston Bruins. They extended David Pastrnak, their star forward, to an 8-year, $90 million extension.
Wow.
John Henry, you may want to take a hint here. This is how you treat your homegrown talent.
Yeah.
Pastrnak, $11.25 million average annual value on this new deal, which basically will take him until he's, I think, 33 or 34 years old is when he'll hit free agency. Needless to say, definitely And he's basically in a race right now with Connor McDavid to try and score the most goals this season. But Connor McDavid, I think he has a considerable lead. So I don't think that he'll be caught.
No.
This one's a bit of a head scratcher. The Tampa Bay Lightning, they acquired forward Tanner Janot from the Nashville Predators in exchange for defenseman Cal Foote, a conditional first-round pick in the 2025 NHL draft, a second-round pick in the 2024 NHL draft, and third, fourth, and fifth-round picks in this year's draft. This acquisition makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. This is, if anything, this is a depth acquisition for Tampa Bay, and they basically gave up the equivalent of what you would pay for a star player. Nashville, honestly, this may be the heist of the century for Nashville, because in no way is a depth player worth even a first round pick.
Yeah.
Not even close.
No.
So, I mean, you know, I just laughed my ass off. I'll put it that way. I laughed my ass off as soon as I saw that trade go over the wire. I mean, it's maybe one of the most astounding trades I've seen in NHL history. The Toronto Maple Leafs, they traded defenseman Rasmus Sandin to the Washington Capitals in exchange for Boston's first-round pick this year that they traded originally in the Orlov and Hathaway deal to Washington. And Washington also gave up defenseman Eric Gustafson in this deal in order to upgrade on defense. So, head scratcher, in my opinion, by Toronto. I don't know why they even wanted to get rid of Sandin. Maybe it has something to do with his contract, but pretty solid return, though, for him. A first-round pick and a lesser-known defenseman. This next deal, though, it breaks my heart for Jonathan Quick, a UMass alumnus. The Columbus Blue Jackets, originally, before he got shipped off to Vegas, they acquired Jonathan Quick along with a conditional first-round pick in this year's draft and a third-round pick in next year's draft from the LA Kings in exchange for defenseman Vladislav Gavrikov and goaltender Jonas Korpisalo. Now, I guess I kind of get it. You know, LA needs help on defense. They get it with Gavrikov, but goaltending, I guess this is a case of switching goaltenders, switching backup goaltenders. Maybe it has to do with Jonathan Quick's salary, but
on that note, I'll be back next week.
All right. Let me move on, though, to NFL free agency, because we do have free agent frenzy having gone on this past week. And needless to say, Alex, there's been quite the huge, how should I put it, tornado of activity that we've seen take place. I mean, hell, you name any major free agent this year, and they all basically found new homes within the first day. I mean, honestly, the first domino to fall was Jimmy Garoppolo, of all players, going to the Vegas Raiders.
I'll always like him. I know some people, he's polarizing, but he is a winner. I know it's corny, but it's true. I mean, you can do a lot worse than Jimmy G, right? I don't mind that move.
Definitely.
They're not moving off of Joe. They're not getting rid of Joe Montana. I mean, Derek Carr, obviously, mutually, they had to break that band up. So, I mean, I think it's a decent fill-in. kind of equal, right? Aren't Carr and Garoppolo healthy? He's kind of equal to Carr, and he's won a lot more. Not a bad move.
Yeah, the problem I have with this, though, even though it's a 3-year, $72.75 million contract, the problem I have with this is if you want health, I mean, let's be honest, Derek Carr is easily the better option.
You're right. But, I mean, there was such a tumultuous, it was like when everything goes wrong, it's like getting let go or let's move on, relationship or work, you know, just like it soured. He was done being a Raider. Your guy McDaniels kind of soured on him, and it was just kind of, you know what I mean? He had to go. I always thought Carr's gotten a bad rap, just like Garoppolo, so they almost like both kind of moved on, and I think it's better for both of them. I think they can, either one can win, can get to a Super Bowl. I mean, Garoppolo's already gotten to the top. He's not, you know, going to be a Hall of Famer, but I don't know. Like I said, it's not a bad move for them. It's not terrible.
Yeah, it's not a terrible move, but at the same time, though, I mean, come on. You're basically – I get it. Garoppolo is 40-17 in his career as a starter, and, you know, when he's healthy, he's borderline elite, but – and he's not to mention he took – San Francisco to the Super Bowl, but come on. I mean, what do you want? You know, what do you want? Do you want health or do you want consistency or do you want both? Because, I mean, let's face it, when Garoppolo is healthy, he is an impact player, you know, behind center at quarterback. The problem is, if I was Vegas, I don't think Derek Carr was the problem. I do not think Derek Carr was the problem at all there in Vegas at quarterback. And honestly, they basically decided with two games remaining in the season last year, you know, thank you for all you've done in Vegas, but also fuck you. We're moving on.
Well,
and
yeah, the bridges had been burned. They pissed him off. He was like crying. Remember, he was crying. I mean, he had to go. It's like they just had to move on from him.
Well, the big problem is that he isn't a Josh McDaniels guy. I mean, why do you think Josh McDaniels brought in not just Jimmy Garoppolo, but also he brought in Jacoby Myers? That's another gripe I have to talk about here with Jacoby Myers signing a 3-year, $33 million deal with the Vegas Raiders. A certain other receiver that the Patriots signed got that same contract. Can you say a huge shot being taken at Mac Jones by a certain grumpy aging coach? Kobe
yeah.
Myers this past year, well, you know, he's considered to be one of the top receivers in free agency. He did get $21 million guaranteed, which, I mean, it's a hell of a payday for him, especially considering the Patriots only offered him 2 years, $12 million. I mean, that's basically a slap in the face for a guy who was considered to be your number one receiver this year. I definitely think with his production, 67 catches, 803 yards, and 6 touchdowns, this year with the Patriots, he's definitely going to excel in Vegas, especially with Garoppolo. It kind of makes me wonder if maybe perhaps Hunter Renfrow might be on the move, because both players play the slot, and let's face it, you're not going to acquire a slot guy and, you know, have him basically playing the outside or something. And they're not going to pay Myers that much money to be, you know, a fourth wide receiver. So somebody's going to be lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, it's interesting how that's going to unfold.
You know, another big head scratcher, since we're on the Raiders. I mean, hell, the Raiders have made so much noise essentially.
Oh yeah, they move an incredible all world tight end to the Giants for a third round pick. Darren Waller. I mean, that's even more head scratching.
But it's mind boggling. I guess a lot of it had to do with the fact that there was a rumor that Darren Waller had requested a trade because he got pissed off that Josh McDaniels leaked the date of his wedding or something like that. I don't know. It's so stupid that, you know, he got so pissed off that he wanted to all of a sudden move on. It didn't make any sense to begin with, and it still doesn't make sense now. The fact that the Raiders, you know, they're retooling their offense, and then all of a sudden now they're like, oh yeah, we're going to get rid of probably our best tight end in the last decade.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, I know it's a question mark. He's had some injuries. Let's be honest, but it's hard to give up a guy like that. What is he? He's in the prime of his age-wise career. I'm sorry, you could put him up there with the top three or four still. If he's fully healthy and gets back to his mojo, you know, his best self, he could be like a Gronk, the best or second best in the world. He's that good of a tight end. Give up for a third rounder? Again, what are the chances of that third rounder becoming close to a player as good as Darren Waller? Horrendous trade.
Oh, you never know.
A third rounder.
You never know. I mean, let's just – I granted this was a once-in-a-blue-moon possibility here, but, you know, Brady got drafted in the sixth round.
I know. I had some weird feeling. We're starting to really get to know each other. I had a feeling you're going to pull out the Brady card on me. Okay, fair enough. But, I mean, the chances are not overwhelmingly positive.
I mean, let's take a look at Rob Gronkowski. He was drafted in the second round. And
yeah.
Granted,
well, let's see the Raiders, third round. Well, and also let's see the Raiders act half as smart as the Patriots brain trust with their drafting methodologies. I mean, it's probably going to pick someone. I mean, look at their past few drafts. Granted, they had Gruden and Mick Shea. Who was the guy? They both got fired. The Raiders literally missed them, like 18 of their last 20 draft picks are like not even in the league. So hopefully the new brain trust does a little bit better.
I forget who their previous GM was, but
not that.
I'll tell you right now.
You get my point. I was exaggerating a bit, but you get my point. I mean, it's been brutal drafting. So yeah, a third rounder to the Patriots or like, of course, I'm the, you know, Eagles, Chiefs. There's
right.
Different front offices that can do a lot with picks, but I mean, the Raiders. It's like, if I had to trade Darren Waller, I would at least get at least two picks, because that
right.
minimizes the chances of blowing both. At least you get two shots.
I'll tell you right now, though.
How about this though? How about just a good starting defender? Because their defense is awful. You can easily get a good defensive player for an awesome tight end, straight up one-on-one deal, one for one.
But I mean, let's take a look at the past. You know, back in
their defense is terrific.
2021.
Yeah.
You know, back in 2021, you had. Well, actually, no, that's not really a good comparison because. Yeah, never mind. We're throwing.
Well,
that,
no,
like,
no, I know they hit
on
Josh Jacobs, but remember they hit on Josh Jacobs, obviously a really good player. But remember that same draft, the Raiders had three number one picks, and I'm positive the other two picks I don't think are even on the Raiders. I mean, they've had some that are out of the league. They're bottom, I'd say bottom three or four franchises drafted in the last 5-8 years. I mean, if I had, I don't know the. Not like mathematically, but I mean, just that bad as far as like, wow, a lot of their picks are no longer Raiders. Not a good sign.
Yeah. I'll tell you though,
the Chiefs don't do that. The best teams don't do that. The Bills don't do that. The Chiefs don't do it. You know, the Raiders cannot pick that well.
Well, with who the Raiders have right now, though, Dave Ziegler is their new GM. And he was considered to be a member of Bill Belichick's inner circle for quite some time there in New England. So if you have if you have a member of Belichick's inner circle making draft picks, and he was considered to, you know, he was the main consultant that they went to for a lot of their draft selections the last couple of drafts.
Okay. Then I give him kudos. The guy sounds brilliant. Well, I didn't realize they got him. So now you're right. Now there's that draft pick's worth a lot more. I would have at least gotten a second rounder. I mean, Darren Waller, he's an awesome tight end.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely is. I guess my whole thing with Darren Waller is it's just a head scratcher. The fact that you're retooling your offense, and I don't know, it just doesn't make any sense to move on from him. But let me introduce the head of the Missy AE podcast. Without his help, none of these podcasts would be possible. Jim, how's it going celebrating your Hogs victory tonight?
Oh, wow. My God, did I do some hollering. Oh, man, what a win. We took out number one Gonzaga last season. We take out number one Kansas this season.
Coach, hey, you know what, Coach, though? You're not a giant killer. You guys are becoming pretty big yourself. I mean, Arkansas is on the rise.
Coach Muss is awesome for real. I mean, Coach Muss is for real. He's good. He's really good.
I love taking his shirt off. I love it, man. They're fully legit.
Yeah, they were fired up. They were fired up. I just hope they can keep it going. But, man, what a crazy game to watch. I mean, the last 3 or 4 minutes was just like, it was like I was screaming, hollering, jumping, running around the room. I was just like, yeah. But, I mean,
good for you,
I
man.
Mean, that,
good for you.
That's sports. That's what it does to you.
Yeah.
You know, I did think at first that the refs were going to screw them, much like the refs have done all season long to Arkansas. I really thought that the refs were going to somehow allow Kansas to either tie it or somehow get back in the lead in the late minutes. But
yeah,
either that or maybe a Devo turnover.
I was just hoping that the refs would let the players decide it. That, I mean, fans want to see. They don't want to see a whistle. They don't want to see a whistle decide it. They want to see the players decide it.
Exactly.
They want to see a Razorback decide it, not a zebra.
Oh, man. Well, at least we made the Sweet 16 for the third straight year. Now, if we can get to the 8, we'll make the 8 for the third straight year. So, we'll see.
Who are they looking at potentially? Are they confirmed for their next opponent, or is it who are they looking at next?
Steve, it's UConn or who? UConn.
UConn or St. Mary's, depending on who.
UConn or St. Mary's.
There we go. I'm a Connecticut guy. It's gonna be fun. UConn, they're looking legit this year. I mean, I think
I told Steve that today. I said I hope somehow UConn loses because they're good.
you know what they finally got this year? They got some size. They got a really good freshman that's coming off the bench from right around where I grew up down in Fairfield in Connecticut. And he's probably just turned 18, but he's played at a small high school. He's like 7'1", and I think he had about maybe a double-double the first round. So, I mean,
yeah.
They have a little bit of size. I think Arkansas is better.
On one of my brackets in our Whispers March Madness, I picked UConn to go a long way. So, but the other side of the bracket, if they could get past St. Mary's or UConn, then they would most likely have Gonzaga or UCLA to get to the Final Four.
Gonzaga,
I don't know if UCLA can potentially be upset by Northwestern. Northwestern only has a 3-point deficit right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we took out Gonzaga last year when they were number one. We took out Kansas this year when they were number one. So I don't think Coach Musk scared about playing top seeded teams. I think they kinda get more motivated.
No, and I think it's dangerous to think, oh, wow, we beat Kansas now. But, hey, you know what, confidence-wise, they can be, they're not going to see a better roster than that. So
they
got to stay focused right now because you're right. They're not afraid. They have no reason to be fearful of anyone.
Right.
To be honest, though, Jim, you know, Musk has to wake the hell up in some of these games. I mean, I remember reading your messages as you were sending them to me, wondering why the hell he was keeping Debo still out there.
It's like I told you today, Steve. I mean, Debo makes me so damn mad, but then the sumbitch comes up with 21 points in the second half. He's kind of like, don't do that. Oh, great shot.
Yeah, he's like a magician almost, that you don't know what's going to come out of him next.
It's definitely a love and hate relationship with him, because the reason he's in the lineup, he's our best defensive player. We stick him on the best offensive player on the other team. But he does have experience. I mean, he's been there the last two seasons in the Elite Eight. So, and most everybody else we have are freshmen and juniors and freshmen and sophomores. So I don't know. It's a crazy relationship with him, because he can look so horrible, and then he can just get hot and bring you back, and you're like, I can't believe what I'm seeing.
Sounds a little bit like a guy I grew up watching here and there, John Stark. Like, he's maddening. He's polarizing, but when he's hot,
I remember him.
You love him. Yeah, he's fearless.
Yeah.
And sometimes you go, what are you doing? But then you go, wow, it worked.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of how it is with Devo. So, I see so many horrible things with him, and then it's like he freaking can't miss a shot. So it's like, You have to take the bad with the good.
Yeah. By the way, Alex, you may want to tune into the World Baseball Classic soon, because we're down to one out remaining in the top of the ninth for. And Venezuela is still down by two, but you may want to tune into that at one point.
What about this Maryland and Alabama game? What's the deal? They can't score points.
It's very surprising. It's very surprising with Alabama, considering they're probably one of the highest-ranked point-per-game teams in the entire, in the entire tournament.
Yeah, I mean, neither team can score. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know what's going on. Auburn was going to really give Houston a lot of trouble, but then and ran away with it.
Right. Yeah, they're good, man. They're good. That's another team that could easily wake up. They could be atop the race at the end.
Yeah.
I mean,
and the thing about them, Alex, is the Final Four is in Houston.
Wow. I didn't even put two and two. I don't know if I mentioned to you, but I'm out visiting mom for a couple weeks out in Florida, so. I'm not as fully dialed in. Wow, that's cool. The fact that they could potentially be in the host city.
Yeah, they could host the Final Four.
Wow, that'd be fun.
Oh, they were showing an update. Somebody had just scored. I can't. Oh, they must be in timeout maybe. They might be in a TV timeout, UCLA and Northwestern. I thought somebody had just scored.
I think they're coming back from a timeout. Well, Alabama leads Maryland 21-17 with right at 4 minutes left in the first half. I mean, 4 minutes left in the first half, and it's 21-17.
Yeah,
it sounds like one of those scores where I normally, whenever I bet an over-under, I'm usually the guy who would take that over. No one can hit the side of a barn. When I take the over, they can't throw a nickel in the ocean.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious. That's hilarious.
No, the under has been whooping ass
I get it. I totally get it.
I would have taken the over. Honestly, I'm not a college basketball guy as much, and I do like to throw a couple shekels here and there. Florida doesn't have online betting, so I'm kind of safe out here.
Alabama's up 24-17.
By the way, an update on Jose Altuve. Looks like he may have a potential broken thumb, so that's another injury caused by the WBC.
Man, these MLB teams are going to start to ask these players not to play in this stuff.
We mentioned that earlier. Yeah, that's a very strong possibility. I mean, Edwin Diaz, you have maybe one of the best one or two, three closers in the world, just gets injured after he signed the biggest contract in closer history, in relief pitcher history. I mean, and then, yeah, like Steve just mentioned, Altuve, he's a Hall of Fame second baseman. He goes down. These owners are going to say, you guys aren't going. We'll send the minor leaguers.
Yeah.
We'll send college players.
And I mean, to be honest about it, if you're a team owner, aren't you going to think that? Aren't you going to say that?
Yeah.
I'm paying you to play for us. I'm not paying you to go do this stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's at that level, I mean, love it or hate it, it's a business. You're throwing millions of dollars around. I'm protecting the assets.
Right.
And, Alex, it is Presley. He is in for the close right now.
Oh, nice. I'm just turning it on.
So the winner of this will face Cuba in the semifinals with Japan facing off against Mexico on the other side. And obviously the winner of that will face whoever beats, assuming USA hangs on here in the bottom of the ninth. I mean, they do have one of the best closers in Major League Baseball right now trying to close it out here. So, yeah, it should be a very interesting finish to the World Baseball Classic here. And Jim, you know, I got to tell you, the Red Sox big guy they got in the offseason this year, Masataka Yoshida, he's looking pretty good for Japan.
I've noticed that. He really is. He's looking really good. Really good. They may have found him somebody. But
is he a corner outfielder?
But if they have, you know, in a couple of years, they'll just let him walk because they won't pay him.
Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
although
let's be fair though.
Jim, he'll be in a couple of years. I mean, it's not like we're signing a young player. He's basically right in the middle of his prime right now. So. Let's put it this way. I would be more willing to lose Yoshida at the end of his deal, which is like, I think, 4 years. I'd be more willing to lose Yoshida when you consider a player going into their mid-30s, usually they tend to start to drop off. But, I mean, I would be more okay with losing him than losing Bogarts like we did.
Yeah. Well, we knew that was coming, though.
Man, I'm out here in Florida. I can't even find Fox. I can't even find the baseball. Ugh. Okay.
Well, we're down to the final
game.
Strike now.
Yeah, that ship has sailed. I'm sticking with basketball.
Yeah, we're down.
Like
we're down to the final strike.
UCLA is up by four.
Wow.
With 36 seconds left.
Yeah, I'm back on that. What a game. Yeah, Bama. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Still like 26-19. They're projected. I mean, look, do the math. The half's almost over. You're looking at 100 points total. That's
yeah.
Not, I mean, these two teams traditionally all year played to, I mean, if you were to talk betting over under, 160, 150. So they're playing like 30% slower than their pace. So they're just not hitting shots.
You want to know what the over under is?
I guess so.
Yeah, 142.5.
Wow. I hit my spots here and there when I'm allowed to get on that phone when I'm not in Florida. Except
you can score another one for the under.
I blew a lot of lunch money on the Eagles Super Bowl. I'll tell you that much. Can't hit them all.
Well, you know,
in a good month. I'm not crazy or over the top or anything, but I definitely like to, like 50 here, 80 there, spice it up here and there on a weekend. I unloaded on my Eagles. That was not a good look.
You know, though, you bring up the Eagles. You bring up the Eagles, though. Even though they lost quite a few people, they did surprisingly keep quite a few as well. They kept James Bradbury.
Yeah,
they kept Darius Slay.
The thing with the Eagles, it's hard to keep up with because they let a lot of people go, but then they kept a lot of people.
Yeah, they kept a lot.
Yeah.
And like you guys said, I mean, you guys both know their roster. I mean, that's the best Eagles team I've seen in 20 years. I mean, so they had 15, 18, 19 good defensive players. So they lost three or four, but you wake up and they re-signed the two great cornerbacks. So that's great. Fletcher Cox is back. He's slowed down. He's more of a rotational guy, but a great, great veteran to have in the locker room.
Oh, he's good.
They brought back Brandon Graham, and boom, they brought back my guy, Jason Kelce, for one time. That NFC is still wide open, man. Most of the talent, most of the young quarterbacks in the AFC, Eagles can get back there next year.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all have talked about this yet, and if you have, forgive me for bringing it up, but it seems to be a pretty good debate right now whether this is going to be a move that really, really works, or it's probably just going to be like a 8-9 season. Aaron Rodgers to the Jets.
Oh, no, we did not bring that up.
Steve, can I jump in real quick? I was thinking it would be a great move because, being in the Connecticut, New York area, my girlfriend's down in New York. I work there. I'm usually getting all the New York games every Sunday, so. I had to watch the Jets too much, but I mean, just watching them, most people like you guys know, I mean, they have a really, Jets have a great defense, a great young defense.
Exactly.
It's going to be better next year. They have the offensive rookie of the year, like a young, not a Randy Moss, but you get my point. Garrett Wilson, sensational receiver. They had Breece Hall, who was the best young running back, and then he blew out his knee. So, I mean, they got weapons. At plug-in, they were just missing a quarterback to make the playoffs. And then you had Aaron. But now Aaron Rodgers is sending like a hostage, like a ransom note. He needs about he needs about eight players before he agrees. And he's off taking peyote somewhere. I mean, what's this guy doing? I don't know. He's a head case.
He's being what he is.
Diva.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
He's already, it's like some supermodel. Not even a first date, and he's already putting up there's a lot of drama going on.
He's not even signed yet, and he's telling them what moves to make.
Well, no, and that's the type of person he is. No one's ever done it, so Aaron's going to do it.
Yeah, well, he did say it's not on him. It's all on the Packers because the Packers are basically demanding – shit ton, basically, for Aaron Rodgers to go to the Jets.
Yeah.
So,
you get that with the trade for him,
right?
But he's telling the Jets you need to sign this person, this person, this person, and this person. That
right.
don't have nothing to do with his trade.
Well, I think it's because he has a no trade clause partially, so he can decide essentially. I mean, the Packers have already decided they're moving on from him, regardless if he stayed or not. You know, Jordan Love was going to be their starting quarterback, which I find hilarious, by the way. But, you know, they decided from the get-go that they were moving on from Aaron Rodgers. And with Aaron Rodgers having a partial no-trade clause, you know, he can essentially decide where he wants to go.
Right. But does he decide what the team does, where he's going, before
yeah.
he even signs a contract?
If you're a desperate enough team like the Jets, yeah, the Jets will do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah, I mean that's true.
It's
but
just
that's
a poor
sad.
It's not a classy move. It's in poor form. But again, I mean, this is kind of who Aaron Rodgers is, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, I agree 100%.
It's not for nothing, but that's him. And not for nothing, I'm not going to keep wasting all night on Rodgers. Just my own take, though. Just watching him through the years, I was never blown away. The guy always looks like he's either just smoked some marijuana or, you know, he's kind of like, oh, what's going on later after the game? He always looks like he's kind of lazy and, like, not interested. He always talks bad about his teammates. You know what I mean? He'll chew someone out in the first
quarter. He's always
a bad teammate. He's a bad teammate.
Steve, if
right.
you want to look at it, you want to look at it. Everyone
uh-huh.
that talks all this hype about how great Aaron Rodgers is.
No.
How many Super Bowls? He won one Super Bowl.
One Super Bowl, yeah.
Oh, and from Freeman to Dorsey Levins to Devontae
Adams. And he can't.
The guy's acting like he had no talent. He had plenty of talent.
He can't even win playoff games at Green Bay in the cold weather.
Right. What the hell does he think he's going to get in New York?
Yeah.
If it's weather, that's the problem. What the hell does he think he's going to be playing in New York?
And he's been in Green Bay where they love him. He's going to a New York media. Brace yourself, Aaron. Have a bad game up there and see what happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a pretty picture. He wants everything his way. He wants his list of hostage demands. It's never his fault. He never has enough talent. He's never happy. So I mean, he's turned me off tenfold.
Oh, I could not agree with you even more.
Hey,
I just don't like the guy. I just don't like him.
You know. Yeah, I mean, I have a couple of really, really, really great guys. They're not cocky fans. The Jets are like the Mets of that market, right? They're like the younger brother.
Right.
They're not the
right.
cocky Yankee fans. They're not Giants fans. Are usually Yankee fans, so they got the ego. The Jets are just
right.
like those fans are hungry and loyal, and they just want a legit respectable team. So I mean, Rodgers is not a fit. I don't know.
Hey, let me bring in JB. How you doing tonight, JB?
Hey, I'm doing fine.
What's up, JB?
Hey.
I'm here tonight.
I know. A lot of times I call just to listen, and Steve always wants my opinion, and it's like,
My opinion. Then you hear me, and you're like, "I got to call in."
I did. I was over my sister's house, and I saw that your team won.
Oh my God!
Thought,
they beat Kansas.
You know what? I could hear you guys. I could hear you all the way up here, all the way up the Ohio River. screaming and hollering, and I thought, what the heck? Oh, okay, I know what he's screaming and hollering about now.
Texas wins 71-66, so they advance.
Yeah, and here I thought that Texas normally when March Madness hits, that's usually when they crumble.
They usually crumble
very early on.
Texas is good. They're really good. They're really good. And they may even be better under the coach that had to take over from the coach they let go, who's going to Ole Miss next season. They may be even better under this coach.
Hmm. Yeah, that's right. They don't have Chris Beard.
Right.
I forgot about that. I forgot.
Yeah.
He got released.
Honestly seemed like they got better after he left.
Yeah, that could very well be so. When you consider the fact that maybe perhaps a team just needs a change in leadership.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Don't get me wrong. I think Chris Beard's a fantastic coach. I mean, he started out in Jonesboro, Arkansas at Arkansas State. He wanted the Arkansas job really, really bad, and they went with Muss. But I mean, he went to Texas Tech, and they were very, very successful. He went to Texas. He had them on a roll. I mean, the guy is a good coach, but it's going to be a little different in the SEC. It's so damn hard in the SEC.
Go ahead.
I was just about to say, the older I get, I mean, whatever, mid-40s going on 20 as it stands. No, the older I get, though, each year watching all these great coaches and players, now I really respect the importance of how crucial it is to get an incredible college coach. Much more important than a pro coach, because not only you're teaching kids to become men and deal with
right.
pressure, and then, I mean, this is the other, maybe the other 70% of it, recruiting, getting on the phone.
Oh,
this,
heck yeah.
Wow,
heck
we
yeah.
can relate to this coach, Mom. Who's this guy out here? I want to go there.
I mean, the recruiting is everything. I can tell you that right now with Arkansas with Coach Muss.
Recruiting.
I mean, he's already talking to 6 players in the transfer portal about coming next season, who
yeah.
all average
yeah.
15 points or more.
And now, yeah, like you said, now you got the transfer. I was thinking about a 16-year-old. In California, might be going, wow, Mom, or whoever, hey, I want to go to Arkansas. I mean, you create that energy, and people start looking at that team. You got recruits coming out, coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah. And the other thing about it, and it sounds crazy, but a lot of it is social media, how they handle social
oh, yeah.
media. You know,
yeah.
are they very, very active on Twitter? Are they out there? Are they promoting? Are they recruiting? Are they using all their little social media tools? Coach Muss is really, really good at that.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a whole different world than it used to be.
Oh yeah, you weren't taking 2 days to fly out to somewhere in Texas to sit on a couch and talk for 8 hours to someone's mom or dad or grandpa about going to their school.
Yeah.
Now you're recruiting digitally. Yeah, you're
exactly.
recruiting on social media. Son.
Exactly.
It's huge. It's a lot easier and a lot quicker. It's a lot quicker
exactly.
on the digital world.
Yeah,
yeah. The
exactly.
best college coaches now are dialed up on those social media.
Exactly, and it's gotten to the point where there are certain websites that post stuff like that as to who are the most active coaches on Twitter I mean, wow. Who gets the most responses on Twitter? And
wow.
And Coach Muss from Arkansas is always at the top of the list because he gets into that stuff. I mean, he brings in coaches from other teams. He brings in MLB stars. He brings in rock stars. He brings in all kind of people to come to Arkansas to help him recruit.
It's a no-brainer. It's brilliant, and it's a no-brainer. And you know how to do it.
Yeah. I mean, he uses what they give him, you know. And there's other schools like that. There's other coaches that do that, but he's just really, really good at it. Calipari used to be great at it, but it's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like there's a bad stain on Calipari now. People don't want to go there for some reason. I don't know.
Like the thrill is gonna, the shine's off, the thrill is gone. They used to be
good. Yeah, yeah, it's like that used to be a good thing, but it's really not so much a good thing now.
Oh, the one and done. I mean, he would
yeah.
Take come here for about 11 months or 15 months of your life, and I'm going to get you in bed with, you know, the scouts. I'm going to punch your ticket 1 year, and then you're going to go play for the NBA. And now it's kind of shifted off that again.
Yeah.
Jim, going back real quick to your point about Aaron Rodgers with the Jets, I think let's face it, the Jets, they do have a lot of talent offensively. You got CJ Uzama, who's their top tight end. You added in Alan Lazard, which honestly, I mean, let's be frank, it probably was a huge overpay by the Jets. I wouldn't have given him $11 million per year. You know, you got Garrett Wilson, who was the rookie of the year last year. You also have Elijah Moore. You have Corey Davis,
yeah.
If he can be anywhere close to where he was with Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
He can stay healthy.
You have Lazard.
They are talented offensively. I think if they end up becoming an 8-9 team, it's going to be on Aaron Rodgers. It's not going to be everybody else.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing, because it's like it was mentioned before. Their defense is solid. They have a good defense. You don't have to worry about their defense. They have a defense that can win ball games. It was their offense and basically the quarterback position. And you just laid out why they should be successful on offense.
One would argue.
So
one would argue they have a better roster offensively, one would argue, than what the Packers had last year.
Oh, 100%.
If they are not successful, I guess we're going to have to understand Aaron Rodgers' skills are starting to fade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, who else is going to point
out? They have the pieces. The other thing that Aaron Rodgers did was he decided to leave a weak, weak NFC and come to a very strong AFC. I mean, you got Mahomes, you got Josh Allen, you got Hebert, you've got
Joe Cool.
I mean, yeah, you got Burrows. Oh my God, come on.
You got four or five of the best in the last 25 years in one conference, and they're all under 25 years old.
Is loaded, and you got Sean Payton now with Russell Wilson, so you know that's going to be better.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I'm coming to the AFC. Well, welcome to the AFC.
Yeah. And another thing too, Burrow actually has protection now. They ended up signing Orlando Brown Jr. from Kansas City. Probably
wow.
Kansas City's top tackle.
Yeah, and
wow.
I mean, look.
Yeah, it's all that.
The Bengals were so close. The Bills looking through that window of the Super Bowl for about 4 years.
Yeah.
They're knocking. Yeah, you guys all brought up excellent points. I mean, this is going to be a hell, a murderer's row. Good luck trying to get to that big dance. Rodgers,
yeah,
39.
I mean, this is what he wants to do, but
now
I think I would have stayed in the NFC where it's not nearly as competitive and strong.
The Jets are so desperate to be relevant because with a good quarterback, like we've all said a few times, that's the playoff
team,
I think. Really good young D. Breece Hall, I mean, maybe one of the best young running backs, Breece Hall. He got injured early. And then Garrett Wilson, but hey, offensive rookie of the year, maybe the best young receiver. They've drafted two or three number one. They have a good young offensive line. I think the Jets are just going to be facing too many good young quarterbacks. They would almost be better off getting
a quarterback. That's the whole – I agree with you. That's the whole thing.
The window's too tight. Like, they're
that's
their
the whole thing.
To win,
that's the whole thing. They could go. And depending on what Lamar Jackson does, they could go 9-7 and not even make the playoffs.
And then Rodgers might in 2 years he's gone, and then they have to almost start over.
Yeah,
Lamar would have been a better fit because you'd have another 5 or 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, so, I'm kind of surprised that nothing has happened with Lamar Jackson so far. I mean,
his asking price is too high for how much he's on the field. He misses
right.
too many damn games.
And he's going to do his own version of the decision, apparently, because he's teased an exclusive interview
right.
with himself to be released on his YouTube channel, apparently. So he's going to make his decision on YouTube.
Do you want me to tell you what he's going to do? He's going to re-sign with Baltimore for a year or two.
Does he have to?
That's what he's going
to
do. Nobody else is going to pay him what he wants.
Right. And he got franchise tagged. So, I mean, he'll be making, what, $28 million, I think,
is the
number for quarterbacks this year?
Yeah.
I think that's the number, somewhere around there, $26, $28 million or something for quarterbacks on the franchise tag.
If he didn't miss so many damn games, there would have been teams lined up to sign him.
Yeah.
But
he missed it, and
what hurt him was last year in the playoffs when it's widely known he could have played and he didn't.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he wasn't even on the sidelines. Wow. Thanks for
he didn't
that up.
Even travel. He didn't even go to the game.
And
he didn't even go to the game.
I mean, at least, you know, Jimmy G was laughing when the Niners were getting their ass kicked. At least he was in sweatpants on the sideline.
Well, to be fair, Jimmy G.
Lamar didn't even go.
I'll give him that.
Lamar didn't even go. So,
yeah. Lamar was five area codes away.
Teams look at that. They look and say our quarterback should be our leader, and this is who we want to be our leader. He won't even show up.
I think someone said on social media, oh, you know, if you have an ACL injury, they didn't want him on the sidelines. Okay, fine. Put him in a suite. Have 5 minutes.
Yeah.
What do you mean? He can't be in that area code? He's going
to
get injured watching the game?
To be fair, Jimmy G couldn't even play, though. He wasn't in any condition to play. So.
No, I love the fact that Jimmy G was there. I was agreeing with him, saying Lamar couldn't even be in the stadium. He didn't even travel with the team. That's ridiculous. And he's the leader?
Right.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Exactly.
There's no excuse for it.
I mean, I mean, the bottom line, he sold out. He sold out.
Yeah. And now he wants a big deal? No. No. Doesn't deserve it.
Yeah, yeah. I sold out on this team, this franchise, these players, ownership, but give me a max deal. And the guy that owns the team saying, I don't think so.
Hey, Jim, looks like Damian Harris is gone from New England potentially, because the Patriots did sign his potential replacement in James Robinson. Formerly, he was better when he was with Jacksonville.
That's always New England. It's a revolving door at running back. They don't keep nobody. They use you a year or two, and you're gone, and they bring in somebody else.
Look, Garrett Blunt, countless others. Yeah.
Well, Blunt was different, though. Blunt was like the one running back that they actually re-signed.
Yeah, that
was the one running back that they actually chose to re-sign.
But we've seen seven or eight guys that are really good for a year or two, and then they just kind
of
suck them out.
I mean, yeah. And they've had good running backs. They just don't want to keep them.
Well, because they don't want to draft. They don't pick them first. They don't want to sign them. You know, $80 million deal. And that's the way the game's changing now. If you get a great offensive line, look at the Eagles. They let their running back walk. They didn't even look at him. Miles Sanders. Plug in two or three other guys. We'll see if that works. But
yeah, well, they replaced him with Rashad Penny.
Yeah, Penny, but yeah, not to shift to the Eagles, but I mean the Patriots are smart. If you have the quarterback, obviously, and a line, an offensive line makes a lot of people look good. So you can plug a guy in there and get 1,000 yards, and you don't have to overpay him and kill your cap.
It's funny talking about quarterbacks because Jim, this brings me to my next topic. What do you think of the Patriots giving 3 years, $33 million to Juju Smith-Schuster, but not to Jacoby Myers?
I'm kind of torn on that because I'm trying to figure out which one of them is the best. I mean, I know Myers was a Patriot, but trying to figure out, is Juju better?
Juju had a down year last year.
I don't know. I don't know if he's better. If they're equal, it was a shitty thing for Jacoby. But and from what I've heard, it's not a thing about which receiver was better. It was kind of a thing about Belichick sending a message and sending a shot at Mac Jones because Mac was so high on
right,
yeah,
on Myers,
yeah, on Myers.
Right. Do that? He would do that? He was young quarterback.
That's weird. Bill would definitely do that.
Are you going to speak about this? I'm going to do the opposite to piss you off. I mean, that's weird, but to a younger quarterback, that's a little bit ridiculous.
It's not going to piss me off because I totally agree.
Well, here's the thing though with Juju. I'm looking at his numbers. He had a down year last year, but he had more receiving yards than Myers. He also had about 12 more catches than Myers. Only 3 touchdowns compared to Myers' 6. However, his last fully healthy season, which was with Pittsburgh in 2020, he had 9 touchdown catches.
Well, and the thing you can say about last season, Steve, is he was with Kansas City, and they spread it out. I mean, it's not like he's going to be the guy. They spread it out, so his stats probably would go down with Kansas City.
Right.
I think pure athleticism and pedigree and, you know, resume on my 4.340, you know, 5-star, blah, 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 college scouts and whatnot. Juju's obviously the pick. I think Jakobi Meyers is probably a harder worker, more reliable, hasn't got injured. I mean, Juju's had a couple big injuries already. He's always running his mouth. I don't know. A little bit more upside. I think Jacoby's a lot more balanced and more consistent, I think.
Well, and he was a Patriot. That was the thing. He was a Patriot, and he was Mac Jones' favorite target. And
man,
Bill took that away. Bill took it away.
I mean, you do have to wonder if Bill...
Listen, you can't ignore the fact that Meyers signed a contract with the Raiders. Bill didn't sign him, but then Bill signs Juju for the same fucking contract.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you do have to wonder.
And, dude, Juju would sign with an XFL team if they offered more money. He's not loyal.
You know, though, you do have to wonder if maybe Bill is banking on Juju. If Juju becomes the premier receiver again, because let's face it, there were other options in Kansas City. You have to wonder if Bill is banking on Juju becoming the receiver that he was with Pittsburgh again. Where he averages 7 to 9 touchdowns per season.
Yeah, he's a home run threat. He's got a lot more upside than I think maybe even Jacoby, just on paper. I don't know.
The problem with Jacoby was they kept, you know, they just kept throwing short passes to him. That was the huge problem with Jacoby is, you know, for pretty much his entire career, they have been throwing short passes to Jakobi Meyers. I mean, Brady didn't really, you know, Jakobi came in during Brady's last year in New England, and Brady wasn't really, he didn't really trust Jakobi Meyers. Then, you know, Cam Newton didn't really trust him. And, you know, Jacoby didn't really start to come around until Mac Jones was drafted. And, you know, through 2 years with Mac Jones, he had 8 touchdowns, 1,600 yards, and about 150 catches compared to 85 catches his first 2 years. You know, I really do think this was a huge shot by Belichick towards Mac Jones. The fact that Mac Jones dared to seek outside counsel from outside of the organization. He spoke to other coaches around the league. You know, when it came to dealing with his situation that he was finding himself in New England, I think that's basically what pissed Belichick off.
He had a fucking defensive coordinator calling fucking plays for him.
Right.
I'd be seeking advice elsewhere too.
I know. You know, I mean, I can't say I really blame Jones. I would probably be doing the same thing. But
you'd be asking, what are they trying to do to me? Destroy me? I'd be asking other people.
You know, I honestly think that even before all the problems happened with Mac, just the fact that Belichick, I think Belichick never even wanted Mac Jones. Belichick would prefer, if he wasn't getting any pressure from Kraft, he would probably prefer to start Bailey Zappe over Mac Jones. I mean, Jones was never really considered to be the quarterback that Belichick wanted in the draft.
I'm just so confused by that. You guys know the roster and the mindset of the Patriots better than me. I'm just curious. I mean, what goes into that? I mean, Zapp came after Jones. So Bill was never happy with Mac. They spent a first rounder on him, so that wasn't Bill's pick.
Well, this is what I was getting to. Belichick originally wanted to draft an offensive lineman, Elijah Vera Tucker, until he was taken by the Jets.
The Jets.
He was basically forced to take Mac Jones by Robert Kraft, essentially.
Oh.
So Mac Jones was basically Robert Kraft's choice. And obviously the owner overrules the general manager slash coach.
Wow. Okay.
So,
if it were up to Belichick. Sure. I mean, just from an outside perspective, as an NFL fan, but I mean, just looking at the Patriots, such a proud franchise. I mean, it's not getting any better. They got to either move off of Mac or close the curtains on Bill.
Jones,
I mean, they're wasting days and weeks and months and years right now.
Their problem is ownership. Robert Kraft, he likes Mac Jones.
Belichick doesn't.
Right.
Belichick wanted an offensive lineman.
But Belichick's the one that drafted him.
Yeah, he was overruled by Robert Kraft because Belichick originally wanted to trade up and take Elijah Vera Tucker before he was taken by the Jets.
Wow.
And then Kraft basically, from my understanding, is Kraft basically demanded that Belichick start preparing for the future and take a quarterback.
Well, that was the right move. The question is, did they pick the right quarterback? But that was the right move. They did need to draft a quarterback.
Well, they picked a quarterback personally I like overall. I mean, I was proven wrong times 10 with Jalen Hurts. So as an Eagles fan, I was looking at different quarterbacks a couple of years ago. I was just looking at Mac Jones. Wow, he's got some great stats. Seems like a great player. I also saw that he was playing with two or three guys that got drafted first round at wide receiver.
You can ask Tim Gross, who is a big Philadelphia Eagle fan.
Sure.
I always loved Jalen Hurts. I told him when the Eagles drafted him, gosh damn, I wish the Patriots would have done that.
I had no
That's
idea.
That's exactly what I – Jim, if you remember, when we did the draft thread that night, I was screaming so much that the Patriots passed on Jalen Hurts. They had the opportunity to draft him, and instead they ended up going with, I think it was N'Keal Harry that was drafted that year, which was the biggest fucking disaster I've ever seen in a Patriots uniform.
And the Eagles had... you know, pretty boy, you know, Eagle for life, Carson Wentz, we're set. I go, what? How could they draft a quarterback? What are they doing?
They
knew what they were doing.
But that was so toxic because he was in bed with the owner of the Eagles, so he got whatever he wanted, which made it hard for the coach to deal with him, and it created problems in the locker room. The mess. It was just a damn mess.
I didn't mean to jack it over the Eagles. I mean, getting back to the Patriots. I mean, how do they resolve it? Because you have a Hall of Fame coach, a really proud owner, a young, really confused quarterback. Do they like me? Am I in the wrong relationship?
What they're trying to do this season is they're bringing back in Bill O'Brien to be the offense coordinator who coached Mac at Alabama. So that makes sense if Bill will keep his damn – I don't know what the fuck he was thinking last year. All of a sudden he's like, all my defensive guys are going to coach offense. I mean
– that was an FU to the owner.
You know defense, Bill. Stick with defense and let somebody else handle the offense like you did when Josh was there. So let Bill O'Brien handle the offense and you stay out of it.
I'll tell you what, to draw a quick parallel, one last bird comparison. The very final year in the month before Andy Reid got quote-unquote fired, he converted the defensive line coach, Juan Castillo, the D coordinator. Months later, he got fired. I mean, you don't convert coaches at the pro level to different sides of the ball. I think Bill's saying F you to everyone in the
room. Right, I agree. I agree.
Jim, you know why he did that?
Why?
Because they needed a replacement for Josh McDaniels, and they knew they didn't have to pay Matt Patricia because he was getting paid the rest of his salary by the Detroit Lions for releasing him before his contract was up.
But do you do that at the extent of losing ball games?
No, you don't. Any sane person wouldn't, but you know, Belichick's all about looking after his buddies. So basically,
I love what Belichick's done. I think he's a Hall of Famer, maybe the best coach ever. I know that's debatable, but maybe the best coach ever. But with this last season, with the things he did, it's got me thinking, you know, maybe it's time for you to retire, man. Maybe it's time for you to move on.
And, Jim, let me go to the quarterback list because you were wondering, you know, was that the quarterback that Belichick wanted? These are the other quarterbacks that were taken after Mac Jones in that draft. You had Kyle Trask, who went to Tampa Bay at the end of the second.
Yep, from Florida.
You had Kellen Mond, who went to Minnesota at the beginning of the third. Yep, you had Davis Mills, who went to Houston right after Kellen Mond.
Not as good as Mac.
No. You had Ian Book.
I mean, so far you've not mentioned anybody as good as Mac.
No.
Exactly.
Trask might start for Tampa, but if they had a hard-on for Trask in Tampa, they wouldn't have just signed Baker. So, yeah,
right,
you mentioned no one who takes Mac Jones.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
You had Ian Book from Notre Dame going to New Orleans, and he hasn't even seen any meaningful playing time since. And you had Sam Ellinger going to the Colts in the sixth round, where this year against New England he was seeing ghosts.
Yeah. I mean, Mac was the right pick. He was the right pick.
Clearly. He was clearly the right pick. I mean, the other quarterback that was taken before him was Justin Fields going 11th to the Bears.
He's still not. I'm still out on him. He has the number one now, but, you know.
Yeah.
I think Mac still got what it takes. You know, it doesn't help when Hall of Fame coaches
I know.
Playing a mind game with you, it doesn't help a 22-year-old. I think Mac's salvageable. He needs the right advice around him.
I know with the Pro Bowl rules and how people sit out and all this and that, but Mac Jones' rookie season, he made the Pro Bowl team.
Yeah, as the first alternate.
With limited weapons, he still doesn't have a Randy Moss or a Tony Gonzalez or a great – he's had B-minus weapons, C-plus weapons.
I'm about to tell you why. Bill does not sign or recruit skilled players.
Wow.
He wants linemen, D linemen, cornerbacks, defense. He don't give a fuck about offense.
Then why? I mean, why? And Belichick has many more rings. He has a better resume than any Eagles coach I know. I'm a big Eagle fan, but the Eagles have much better offensive and defensive line for the last 5 years. So what's Bill doing? He wants something. He's not doing much. Where do they get?
He thinks he can dig in and find these players at maybe lower schools, double A schools, whatever. He thinks he's a fucking genius. and he can see the talent that everybody else can't, and it's just not happening anymore.
No.
It used to, but it ain't happening no more.
Draft's got to move on. Get him off the drafting. I mean, he's got to limit his responsibilities or just totally get him gone.
Yeah, I mean, he's got total control. He does everything. Contracts, general manager, team president.
Their drafts have been fucking horrendous the last 3 or 4 years.
I just find it hilarious, the fact that, you know, Belichick cares more about the defensive side of the ball. I mean, there's a reason, of course, you know, the defense has been among the best in the NFL for a number of years. But, I mean, hell, you know, his whole thing is, you know, he's been a part of the, you know, who's been the most responsible for those Super Bowl championships in New England. Was it Brady? Was it Belichick?
It's
Brady. Fucking
come on, it's Brady.
Yeah, Brady's fucking pantsing him at this point.
He's wearing a laptop.
I mean, come on. You got your son coaching defense, high as a fucking kite on weed. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a music fan. The son looks like he could pass for the recently passed, you know, guitarist for Pantera. What the hell is he doing wearing a headset on Sunday? Yeah, it's a joke. I mean, come on. No, and I'll take back one of the missiles I threw. I mean, their drafts haven't been horrendous. They have not been good drafts, though. I mean, they hit on one or two picks a year, but it's not going to sustain. He's living off his legacy. Oh, I can make, like,
yeah,
you said,
and,
I can make
the,
guys.
And the thing
make,
is about
I can make,
the,
he thinks he can make guys
about,
into all pros. He thinks he can make the smaller schools. I mean, he can't do it.
The thing is about the drafts is he stockpiles draft picks, and we still don't hit on but one or two.
We wish we had those.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, he has not done shit in a couple of years. It's time for him to go.
It's fucking horrendous. Some of the I will say the picking or the pick of, oh God, who was it?
It's hard when you got to like, try to remember the good pick. You're like, he did hit something.
No, there was one.
I kissed someone a couple years ago. I can't remember her name, but I kissed someone.
No, there was one guy that I raged at a couple of years ago that the Patriots ended up selecting him, and he ended up being probably one of the better defensive players over the last two or so years that he's been with the club. Hang on.
D-back or a linebacker or up front?
Kyle Duggar. That's who it is. Kyle Duggar. I was so pissed off when Belichick, I think this might have been, was this the year that DK Metcalf was drafted? I can't remember when DK was drafted. But I remember that there were other players available that the Patriots needed, and instead he decides to go for a fucking Division One, like a from Lenoir Ryan University that, you know, nobody has ever even fucking heard of the guy, and. He wasn't projected to be drafted until like maybe the fourth round or something. This is the problem I have. That
I don't even know if he ever showed up to training. He never showed up to training camp.
You know, he reaches considerably for some of these picks, like Cole Strange, a guard this past draft last year that could have been drafted in the third round. He decides, no, I'm going to fucking take him in the first round. Like, seriously, what the fuck are you smoking?
It's ego. It's ego. He thinks he's smarter than anybody else.
I've said it 17 times. I also think he's quietly saying, you know what, F you. He wants to go. He wants to get fired.
This is a dude who drafted N'Keal Harry over DK Metcalf.
Boy, what a fuck up that was.
I mean, my God.
You want to talk about a fuck up. Yeah, Steve, you mentioned he doesn't like to take skill players early. Now I know why. He doesn't know how to.
How do you do that?
How do you pass up on DK Metcalf?
Insane. No, but
honestly,
part of it's the Brady effect, but I mean, yeah, think about it though, guy. I mean, you guys know better than me. I respect it, but like the Wes Welkers, the Edelman, he had about 7 or 8 of those guys that were winning rings, kicking ass. So I guess he kind of convinced himself he doesn't need the 5-star recruits. He doesn't need the 6'3 receiver.
The bottom line, it could be just as simple as the game has passed him by.
Yes. There was 1 year, Jim. You remember when they had Kembro Tompkins and Aaron Dobson?
Yeah.
You mean to tell me that those were the guys who were going to help Brady get to another fucking Super Bowl? Are you kidding me?
Yep.
I never believed it back in the day. I was, Brady's lucky. Then after a while, I grew up, surprisingly. And then, after a while, I said, wow, about 3 years ago, I said, wow, Brady is the most incredible quarterback ever. And then he left. And now look what the Patriots are doing.
Once it's all over and said and done and gone back and reviewed and written, people are going to see just how damn good Brady was to win games with New England.
Bring him back one more year. He's available.
If you bring him back
for one, he'll stay.
I doubt it because of how that relationship ended. It would never happen because Brady is probably still sour.
Yeah, Brady's done. I mean, he's not going to play anymore. His kids are in Miami. The only team he would have played for would have been Miami, because his kids are down there.
I forgot about
that. Yeah, and he's probably still sour too over the fact that New England would never offer him an extension.
Steve, you know, over the years, how many damn times did he restructure his contract to save the team money?
Many years.
And every time it was so they would bring in somebody else to help the team.
Yep, and they
half the time they didn't do that.
No.
I think he's such a proud guy. Even if they want him now, you're right. He might be like, you know what? I'd love to go back, but you've damaged my ego or you've hurt me in the soul too much. Yeah, you're right. That bridge, that massive bridge they had, is so far burned. The NFL would love it. Every fan in the world would love to see that.
There ain't no way in hell that's happening.
Really?
The owner would love it.
Yeah.
But it's Brady. Brady ain't gonna do that shit. Nope.
Wow.
Yeah, that like I said previously, that bridge has been long burned. Once they decided to basically insult him on the way out, and I you know, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if drafting N'Keal Harry was the last straw.
Well, yeah, the guy couldn't run.
Because he looked at Brady probably looked at what Belichick was doing with the draft and said, how is this supposed to help us get back to the Super Bowl? And, you know,
And Steve, yet he goes out and wins 10, 11, 12 games.
Right. And the rumor was that what's her name? Giselle had a lot to do with his decision as well. That some actually claim that Giselle was the one who made the decision for him to go to Tampa because she was sick and tired of New England weather.
But, could be the case. Yeah.
I mean
she's
be
a supermodel, you know, diva. So I wouldn't put that past happening.
Well, she. I mean, if you look at it, she wouldn't have had a emotional connection to a team like Tom would have had a emotional connection to New England. So it would have been a lot easier for her. It would have been a lot easier for her to say, "Let's go down south. Let's go down to Florida."
I mean, Brazilian girl, God bless her. I mean, obviously, New England's a lot better than him, but, you know, if he was playing, winning those rings in New York City, they'd probably still be together. He might still be playing. I think, you know, in a place like New England, Giselle was like, this isn't South Beach. I want to go somewhere warm. Then they pack up the dogs and the kids. They go down there. He's like, all right, Tom, let's retire. He goes, no, I want one more chance. I think he overstayed his welcome in Florida. Probably. Now he's now she's gone.
Probably.
I mean,
you know, I mean that's a good point, but it's crazy if you look at his stats, his last season, at what he did. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
At his age, at what he did. I mean, he led the league in yards, and I mean, it was crazy.
I thought it was incredible.
Let's not forget, though, too, Giselle isn't all that innocent herself. She was banging her jiu-jitsu coach behind Brady's back. So
never mistake me for a Giselle fan. I think she was, you know, something like big couple, like any relationships. I mean, she was driving the bus a bit. Go to Florida. Let's go to Florida. And then she bailed. He's like,
man, I mean, this has nothing to do with it, but I don't even think she's that hot.
Oh no, I've always said that. I wouldn't kick her out of bed.
I don't see it.
No, I never did. I mean, Tom. He's had about 3,000 models flirting with him. He's going to be okay.
Oh yeah, he's gonna be just fine. they ain't no telling how many people he's got trying to hook up with him.
Yeah, needless to say, you know, I don't think Tom is really struggling though, because the new girl he's been hooking up with, she's quite the hottie. That she reached out to him through social media.
Yeah.
And I guess she's like this famous talker or something.
And she's married, which is hilarious. I no one even knows really who she is. Apparently she is married. Yeah. Whatever.
Well, I can tell you for a fact that social media stuff is real.
Yeah. Everything you ever needed was out there. A lot of it, I mean, yeah, Brady will be just fine.
Yeah, he'll be all right. I just think everybody was just, they all thought that was so perfect for them, and everyone just thought, oh my God, that's horrible, they're not together. But, you know, it happens. It happens.
Well, I was, to share your point, I was never, I was never like, oh my God, this is, I mean, she's not Marilyn Monroe or, you know, some super, I was like, she looks good, but I'm like, Tom Brady's the man. He could do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Now she's banging the, jiu-jitsu guys. So.
Yeah. All right. It looks like we got about 6 minutes left, guys. If you want to toss something out there, we better get it out there.
Predictions. Steve, lead the way. I would almost say, prediction for Final Four, or, national championship basketball, or something else.
Probably Alabama, Houston, UCLA. I don't know the other one. I gave you three.
Nice.
Yeah, hang on. I got to bring up my bracket that I had.
Steve, I didn't mean to hijack anything. I'm sorry, man.
No, it's all right. I'm trying to bring up my bracket. I had Alabama, Kentucky, Xavier, and UCLA.
You can forget Xavier.
Well, yeah. But I did have UCLA as one of my picks, and I believe my second one was it Alabama? No, my second one was Tennessee.
Well, Arkansas are going to screw all y'all up because they're going to win it all.
shit.
Yeah, right. I know everybody's like, yeah, sure, I know you love them, but it ain't happening.
I think Jim Lou
got
Jim smoking crack.
So Lou got eliminated with Kansas earlier today, with Arkansas upsetting them.
I've been visiting mom with no work and no girlfriend for a couple weeks. I've been having a little fun, a little tobacco.
But hey, Jim, you're tied for second right now in the Whispers bracket.
Oh wow! Hey, you better watch
you're
out for
him.
Me.
That's news. That's music to his ears. He didn't even know.
Yeah, you better watch out for me.
You're tied for second with Jen. I don't know who Seabreeze is. Reggie is up there in second, too. And there's this BNHL. I don't know who the hell this is from Whispers, but they're saying that their percentage is 99.8% for their bracket.
Wow. Don't worry about that. Long as I'm in it, I'm gonna take it.
How can I get into Sports Whispers, whatever, message board or forum or obviously on a team, whatever you call it, with podcasts and stuff? I'd love that.
Well, you just search for Sports Whispers on Facebook. The logo is a guy holding his hand to his ear. If you search Sports Whispers in groups,
cool.
Are you on Facebook,
Alex? And then last name is Weiser.
All you need to do is search Sports Whispers, and you'll be there.
Cool. My last name is Weiser. WISER. I'd love to get joined in all this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have a lot of fun in there. I mean, because we have fans. We have fans from every team in there. I mean, there's a lot of bragging that goes on.
Yeah, because I searched for you, Alex, but there's like God knows how many God knows how many results that came up.
Yeah, Wiser, W-I-S-E-R. And then, no, it's me. It's,
yeah.
I'm blonde. I got a blue shirt, and I'm with a dog. I got blonde hair for now. Hopefully the hair doesn't go.
Is
Alex
it
Wiser,
from Ohio Wesleyan,
yeah,
University?
Where I played lacrosse. Final Four.
I think that might be you. A head coach?
Yeah. Hey, I love football
oh, okay.
more, but I got a call. I love football more, but I've got a scholarship for lacrosse. So mom said, you're going to Ohio.
Okay, yeah, I think I found you. I just sent you a friend request.
Get him in there, Steve. Get him in there. He
will
will love it. He will love it.
Good peeps, and I love you guys.
I will. I'll get him in here.
Nice.
All right, we got about 1 minute left.
Can we go to one or
the end of the show? So you should probably get your good nights in and plan to be back next Saturday.